Good morning and happy Sabbath. This is my third time to preach in English. I am happy because I feel that I am more ready than compared last time. Please open your Bible in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. Can you see the projection? Okay. So, the title of our study this morning is Seeing with the Eyes of Faith. That's the direction of our study. So, what is faith? The Bible gives us the definition of faith. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith is believing on something that you did not see it. That's faith. That's why there is no such thing as to faith is to believe. No. To see is to faith. The right is to see is to believe. Because faith is having nothing to hold on. Only faith. That's how it works. So, the phrase eyes of faith often refers to a theological concept of viewing life through spiritual belief rather than just physical sight. So, in the scripture in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, 6, and 7, it says, now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, and a centurion came to him, pleading to him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. I can understand this verse. And we are doing it, right? If someone will get sick, or anyone in our family is sick, we are praying. We can understand this verse because we are doing this. All of us has experiences this, so we don't have problem with this verse. Right? We are doing it. So we don't have problem with this Bible verse. So we are not going to discuss this Bible verse. But the next verses, verse 8 and 9, this is a big problem for us. And even me, it takes years for me to understand. I've been reading this part of the scripture. I know that some way or somehow you read this chapter 8, verse 8 to 9. I know maybe you understand it, but for me, it takes time to understand it. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. The reason why I cannot understand before, maybe it takes years for me to understand this. The first reason is, I prayed always that Jesus will come to me. Have you tried it? And this centurion said, oh Lord, do not come to my house. Have you ever tried to pray to the Lord that, Lord, do not come to my house? Have you tried it? That's why it's very difficult for us to understand this. But if we know and we understand that the Bible was written somewhere in the Middle East, and you will know also that the scripture is intertwined with cultures during those years, we will be able to understand what happened in this Bible verse. So, the story between Jesus and the centurion. So, as you know, we are talking about seeing through the eyes of faith. Let us use first our ordinary eyes. So, if we will make an analysis to the situation, we should say that Jesus has 12 disciples. Maybe there are some, because in Luke, it mentions about 72 disciples. Let us use only 12. But centurion have 100 soldiers, excluding the auxiliaries. The auxiliaries is about 20. The one that will cook, do the laundry, do the cleaning of the barracks and everything. So about 20 to 25, the auxiliary. Let us use only 100. Jesus is a wandering preacher back then. So he has no territory. But centurion is in Capernaum. He was stationed in Capernaum. Jesus has no money. According to him, fox have holes, bird have nests. So he doesn't have money. But the centurion received from the portion of the taxes of the residents in the Capernaum. So Jesus, we know that this city, Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, is dusty. There is no such concrete highways back then. They are walking in the desert. So his clothes were dirty. And the centurion from his house, he has the flashy uniform. I'm not downplaying Jesus. I'm just saying that this was the reality that we could see during those time when they have this encounter. But having the eyes of faith means choosing to see your circumstances, yourself, and the world through the lens of God's promises rather than human limitation. It shifts your focus from insurmountable problems to the character, power, and presence of God. Now we will open our eyes using through the eyes of faith, and let us look again the situation and see what really the reason why the centurion said, "Oh Lord, do not come to my house." I will share to you the story how I was able to understand this Bible verse. I will introduce them to you. They are Seventh-day Adventists. They are the one with open mouth. He is a second generation Seventh-day Adventist. She was the first Seventh-day Adventist in their family. So the one with gray t-shirt, he's a businessman in California and in the Philippines. So he's a big shot. The next woman beside him is the vice mayor. The one with the open mouth, that's their mother, Nanay Miriam. She owns resort. She owns vast land of more than 300 hectares of rubber plantation. She has ranch, poultry, and many other businesses. So they are Adventists. They are member of where I was serving as a pastor. The one with red polo shirt, he was a politician since 1985, a mayor for many years, a vice governor for three terms, a provincial board member for three terms also, and he was a mayor when this story happened. This story is with the one with red polo shirt, the tatay or the father of whole municipality. They are the rich and famous. Their children, actually, they are the richest in the place where I was assigned. Let us say, if it's in Cleveland, they are the richest. Maybe Brooklyn, because it's a small municipality. In Brooklyn, for example, they are the rich and the famous. And they are Seventh-day Adventists. So we have this group that we call it small group. Small group works like this. We will divide the church. We divided the church, and then, for example, in your care group, you will all do the participation during the worship. So you are the sponsor. Next Sabbath, you will do the sponsoring of food for the potluck and everything. But this separated all the senior citizen and tatay, or the one with red polo shirt, is a member of that, because small group is run, and the leader of that must be an elder. Back then, this man is not the elder of the church, so he is not the leader. There was a problem. When he arrives at the church, there is no one from his group. Remember, they are all senior citizens, around 80, 70, something like that, from 65. So he said to me, "You know what? After the church, let us go and visit my members. Because there's no one. There are, I think, 17 families with him. So they are old. So he called the police station that he will do the visit. His secretary lined up the houses. Because when the mayor goes, the police come first, right? You know the drill. Before they will arrive, the area is cleared. So we are with five policemen come with us. And then when we knock the house, and then I knock the house, and then they open the house because it's me, right? There's nothing wrong. But the problem is when they saw the mayor is getting into their house, it is Sabbath afternoon. No, just like you. Just like us, we are not cleaning our houses during Sabbath. Are you cleaning your house during Sabbath? But these people are not cleaning their houses during Sabbath. These people are not folding their laundry on the sofa on Sabbath because they wash during Friday. And unlike you, they don't have the dryer. In the Philippines, we don't have dryer. We are just putting it under the sun. So the story is very different to you. After you do the dryer, you fold, and that's all. In the Philippines, it's different. You have to put it under the sun, dry it under the sun, and before you fold it. But unfortunately, there are some old people that their laundry is in the living room because it's Saturday. Who cares to do all the work? There are some that all the plates is in on the sink. It's not washed because it's Saturday. But this mayor is somehow felt that maybe someone is sick from his group. So we bring biscuits and some beverages, juices for the members. We bring actually so many. Even Saturday, I don't know how he pulled it out, that he just called in the supermarket, grab it in here. So the police just go to the supermarket, grab it, and we distributed it. That time, I understand it because no one among his group is somehow happy to receive him. Why? Because they feel that they are guilty and shame. Guilty because they did not go to the Sabbath school and did not go to worship. Shame because their house is a mess. Their house is just like everything is in the living room. No one is cleaning up. I really laugh, or not laugh, but smiling. But because there's an old woman, when he go out and see the mayor, he go inside and grab all the laundry and put it, just toss it inside the room. Imagine if I will go to your house. You will accept me gladly whatever is the situation inside your living room, right? But if the mayor of Cleveland will go to your house, will you be happy? You will be happy because he's coming to you, but you will look at if your house is clean or not. Right? So to me, this experience of mine tell me that this centurion is receiving Jesus not as an ordinary person, but as extraordinary person. Now let us use our eyes of faith. A while ago, we know that Jesus has only 12 disciples, but using through the eyes of faith in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10 to 14, we knew that there are 10,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. This is how many soldiers Jesus has. Compare that one to 100. Is there any comparison? Nothing at all. That's why he said, "Lord, do not come to my house. I am a man of authority. I know that I am nothing compared to you." And We learn also that this centurion, he has only the authority over Capernaum. And we learned a while ago that Jesus is a wandering preacher, no territory at all. But for centurion who knew the scripture, Daniel chapter 7 verse 14, it says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Compare that one to Capernaum. So it's nothing. That's the reason why he said, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. I am a man of authority. I know that I am not worthy. We learned also that Jesus has no money. In the centurion received portion of the taxes of the residents in Capernaum. I think we should try to see how much money Jesus was in earthly situation. Earthly, okay? Not heavenly, because if it is, we will talk about heaven. We know already that it's too much to comprehend. But let us use only worldly. Worldly estimate. Okay. We know already our scripture. We have read stories about Jesus, right? So, we have also some people who work in medical line. Our elders are working in the medical line. My wife and some of us are working in medical line. In your own opinion, without the health insurance, how much is the payment to someone that could restore your eyes fully, just like the eyes of Bartimaeus? How much do you think? 100,000? Is it enough? Let us say probably, right? Probably 100,000, probably. How about a paralytic man? How much is the payment right now for a paralytic man? If there is that someone right now here in Brooklyn, staying here in Brooklyn, I know cars will be lining up because people all throughout the world wants that their loved ones will be healed. How about how long it will take for Jesus to restore the sight of Bartimaeus? Maybe less than a minute, right? Less than a minute. And how many blind can he heal in one day? Let us say he will work only in 2 hours solid. Let us make it lower. Let us say only 100 people in one day. That works total of 100 hours. Oh, you're blind. You're healed. Okay, you may go. Next. Okay, remember to pay in my secretary, 100,000. So, remember, we are not yet talking about Lazarus, that he can heal, that he can resurrect. He resurrect Lazarus, the son of the widow from Nain. He resurrected him. If there is someone that can do that and he will put a price tag of 100 million, there are so many rich people all throughout the world will come and bring their dead loved ones and says, oh, this loved ones is only 3 days. Lazarus is 4 days. Can you resurrect him? Just extend his life 15 years just like you did in Hezekiah. So Jesus, if he is right now doing business in medical line, he is the richest man in the world compared to the centurion. But Jesus doesn't like money. Jesus accepts only the currency of faith. Not dollar, not peso, only faith. And we have said also, Jesus has dirty clothes. We're not downplaying or looking down Jesus. That was the reality. And the centurion has a flashy uniform. But the centurion said, I am not worthy. Because he's not looking on his flashy uniform. He's looking to Jesus. According to the Old Testament, I did not quote from Revelation because this is New Testament. So, this person, the centurion, I assume I assume only that he knows the scripture. So I quote only Old Testament. That God wrapped in light. Imagine that one. His clothes is righteousness. Even the train of his robe filled the temple. Look at that. How wonderful is that dress. I even tried to imagine and see the pictures. I cannot imagine how nice it is compared to the plastic uniform of the centurion. So, to him, not to be worthy of Jesus is the greatest honor that he can show to the marvelous and the God that he served. According to Ellen G. White, in our High Calling, page 203, it says, the eyes of the understanding must be enlightened, and the heart and mind brought into harmony with God, who is truth. He who beholds Jesus with the eyes of faith sees no glory in him, in himself, for the glory of the Redeemer is reflected into the mind and heart. So what glory do we have compared to Jesus? Nothing. We are just a filthy rags. But remember this. When we look at Jesus through the eyes of faith, we will be able to behold his glory. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I want you to look at this verse on this way, that Jesus is happy if we show faith in him. If we are seeing circumstances in our life that it will benefit us someday. Because the way Jesus look at things or the way he planned is long term, not short term. Verse 11, it says, I say to you that many will come from the east, that's from us, east, and the west, that's from here, right? West, to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven. Meaning, it is a universal that everybody will come, join, fellowship, and dine with our Lord. There was an event in my life that really changed us as a family. This happened in Mountain View College. This is also the alma mater of Sister Loida. This is the administration building. My brother Ivan, because all of us, our names start with letter I. My older brother is Ian, me Ivan, next is Ivan, and our younger sister is Ivy. So, it was February 25, 2007. This is a very old story, but I know you are seeing electrical post, right? That's the same height with the electrical post in the Philippines. At least you have the background. So my brother worked as a lineman. Lineman is the one working on top of that electrical post. That's the lineman. I don't know why they called it lineman. They are not a postman. A postman is the one working postman. So let us not bother about, but his work is lineman. Okay? So, one time, he is installing light on top of the electrical posts because where that electrical post is along with the trail. It's not road, it's just a trail where people is passing by going to the river. And if you will go to Mountain View College, it has two hydrothermal plants, so it has two rivers, big rivers. So it's working in hydropower plant too. So the main business of this school right now is selling electricity, not student. At least you have the idea that students here is not a business. It's just part of the program. And then they found jackpot in hydroelectrical power plant. So the student who doesn't have money like us, we went and work, and we will have our education and graduate and do our stuff. So he works in electric in hydropower plant. February 25th, he was welding the bar where you put the socket and you will put the light. So that's what he's working. But rain came, so he gave his welding rod holder to his companion, because his companion has the rope. You tie the rope and lower the welding rod holder. You get the logic? So when he gave it, because the partner is, the electrical post is in their middle, and he gave it. When he moved his hand, according to the eyewitnesses, he touched the electrical wire. The bad news about that wire was not yet in the transformer. You see those drums? That's a transformer. That's a raw product of hydropower plant. Unlike with this. That's raw, not yet processed. It was not yet divided. It is a full power of hydrothermal plant. So he was electrocuted, and fortunately he died easily. He did not suffer a lot. He died for me, not really on the spot, but he died instantly. I said fortunately because he did not suffer. And other thing is, our land is only 2 hectares, so there are 4 of us, so we are going to divide it. Since he died, when we divide it, we will receive a bigger portion. I'm just kidding. The truth is, he died that instant. And when my father came after 2 days, because we are far from the school, I think it's 6 hours drive, but they use bus. So after that, when my father came to the school, he was asked by the president, where the president pleaded that please do not file any complaints, because if this will happen, you know how much trouble it is for us as a school and as an institution, because this is Adventist school. My father said, no, just send the body to our house, because we don't have car. We are poor. We don't have car. We cannot transport it. And then just also make sure that the coffin is free so that we can bury him without any trouble. That's all. But the president was very much happy that he gave us free education. Three of us, we received free education from the college. But those days that we are waiting, because he died Sunday, we are waiting, imagine my agony, from Sunday to Wednesday. My agony was this. I am thinking that my father will be very sad, very angry, that he will not send us to the school. And I know if we will go home, I will plow the field, and I cannot go to school anymore. That would be the end of my dream to complete my college education. But I am very much happy that before he arrived to the school, the spirit already touches his pride and ego, that it did not burst out during the conversation with the president. You know what happened to him while he is traveling? He is struggling so much. And then the other thing is, he cannot understand English, and he has difficulty in Bisaya. Bisaya is the language that uses on this area, because he is an Ilonggo. So I prepared myself, okay, I will be the translator of my father, and hopefully I can manage everything. But I cannot sleep, not because my brother died, because of the thinking of the possible scenarios. Have you tried it? That's anxious, right? The Bible is very clear. Do not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own trouble. Enough for itself. Matthew 6:34. But I am very much my feeling, I cannot understand it, and I cannot sleep. But when he came to the school, the president, who is Ibisaya, has a girlfriend before who is an Ilongga. Now the president can speak Ilonggo. That's the dialect that only my father can speak. It's not that fluent, but they can understand each other. So my father said, no, we are not going to file any lawsuit, so we receive our education. Imagine that. I've been agonizing for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and in Wednesday night, he said, it's okay. So meaning, my anxious, my stress is for nothing. If there is any situation, remember this. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He, this is referring to God, has made everything beautiful in its time. To conclude our study this morning, in every situation, trust God and let us open our eyes of faith to see God's perfect plan. Let us pray. Our most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, the Creator and the Sustainer of our borrowed life, strengthen our faith unto thee, O Lord, and allow that in every circumstances we will be able to see your hand working for us. And above all, O Lord, we will be able to appreciate everything that you have done in our lives. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.